Thank you so much for being here this morning. We do appreciate your presence and appreciate you being with us and sharing God's word. This is the first Sunday of another month, and I preach every month from a book of the Bible, some living lessons. I look at my records, and for 5 years, I have not preached on the book of Ezekiel. And I want you to turn to the book of Ezekiel, to chapter 37 this morning, as we're going to go verse by verse and see what God says. Just for those who are not familiar in the Bible, whether you are here or you are listening over the internet or over the broadcast of KKMC, I have received a nice letter from the Truck Union Association that they are listening as they cross Highway 5. I never knew the R station has such a power all the way to Highway 5. And I send them messages and greetings. And yes, I'm here tomorrow so that they come in and bring the offering, they said. All right? And so I'm here tomorrow morning, even though Monday, I don't know what this week I have to work because I'm getting ahead for my vacation. And a greeting to all of you truck drivers, and thank you that some of you are real believers and they are listening to our broadcast. Just for, also I want to say missionary Dante Ravines, Dr. Dante Ravines with us, missionary Nikitos, and pastor's going to put him to work soon. And then also Brother Dulilo is here, and we welcome you, and a greeting to your family, my brother. Just getting familiar with the book of Ezekiel, I want to tell you that out of the ruins of Jerusalem came a gusty preacher named Ezekiel. He was among the Jews taken to Babylon after the fall of the entire country of Israel. He left behind his city. He left behind his temple, the center of worship. And he left behind his home, but he didn't leave his faith in the Lord Jesus. So you can be placed in tough situations, doesn't take away your Savior. He announced to everyone who would listen that for 22 years he paced the streets proclaiming on both sides of the streets the faith of God. On the bad side of his preaching, I want to summarize his preaching in three words. It's unfair, but it's this: turn or burn. In other words, believe in God or burn in hell. That was his preaching. Boy, that's mighty, don't we? I think it's straightforward. And that was his preaching. As I read the book from chapter 1 to 36, you know me, before I read it, I had to read it 100 times because it's not my language, English, so I had to read it over and over and over until I dominated in my brain the book. And as I read it, I was in panic. I think if we have not in our church say that, turn or burn, believe or burn in hell. Now, that looks unkind, but that's a message of kindness. That's the bad side of the story. The good side of the story, and as I learned, is turn and learn. Turn to God and learn. God has a great plan for his people. So we come to chapter 37 with you. Here on chapter 37, I have a question. I address chapter 37 with a question, the question that God addressed. And by the way, there is an outline in the church bulletin. And between parentheses are the page numbers in the Bible that is in the pew. So if you are not familiar with the Bible, you quickly can turn over there and find it. But in the outline of the bulletin, you can find it properly. All right. Let's see what chapter 37 has for us. He really comes to a crossroad where he is going to show Israel that God is mighty, is powerful, is loving and caring for you. And he asked these questions, the question of the centuries in verse 3. Look at in verse 3. Ezekiel chapter 37 in verse 3. He had the question of the centuries. I have a Bible with me. I have a piece of information. I really purposely put these from the Hebrew, so it's going to be a little bit different than yours, but it's the same. Look at the question. Verse 3. Then he asked me, and your Bible doesn't say man, but the word is Adam, so that means human being. You're a human being. I'm God. I'm God asking a question to a human being. And Hebrew is a very well the difference. Who asked the question? It's not the teacher. The teacher is equal to you. It's a human being. But God addressed Ezekiel as a human being. You are a human being, Ezekiel. Think and as a human being. Now, these dead bones who are dry that you saw, can they live? Wow. Wow. Verses 1 to 3, God take Ezekiel to a field, and they are dead bones, dry dead bones. And he asked the questions of the century. Can these dead bones live? And God is asking to the church today, can these dead church members live? That's the way I thought. We see people who claim to be spiritual, but who deny the power of a spiritual life. This is what I saw in America. We see others who do not even have an idea of what it means to live in a relationship to God. More, I share my life early in the morning with those passing by in the McDonald's and places. More, I learn that people in America have no idea who really God is. In America, the country that sent the missionaries to my country to evangelize my grandparents, have no idea of the mighty God that we have. Shall we look at dead bones and just be glad that we are not one of them? This is what I thought. Shall we look at the dead bones and despair for those who are spiritually dead? Shall we look at dead bones and try to arrive at a program by which we might reach them and we give them life? That's what some churches are doing. Somebody asked me, what is the attraction of your church? You know, I know what I mean. What kind of choir do you have? We have about 10 people that sing like 100 because they sing from the heart. We have a pastor who speaks with English accent. You know, it's an advantage and disadvantage. And radio was my advantage. Everybody had to hear very closely. But you know, what we supposed to do with the dead bones of America? God gave us the answer today. And we're going to see it step by step in this book. All right? So the first question is, the question of the century is, what are we going to do with the dead people of our country? Here is the answer, right here in verse 3. He answered, God answered. Ezekiel, excuse me, answered. And Ezekiel was a smart cookie. He said, Lord God. He used two key words in Hebrew. He used Adonai, which means sovereign God. And he used God Elohim. Sovereign God. God, you know it. Wow. Is not that the proper answer? When people ask me, say, how many people will come to your church? How do I know? Ask God. He's the one who's going to send it. They don't read the book of Acts who said he added to the church daily. People trying to manipulate God, control God, and being God themselves. I'm no God. I'm just a preacher. Voicing the voice of God. He is the one who added. In Ezekiel, right there, in verse 3, he said, Lord, God, only you know it. Only you know how this is going to happen. You know, we all have unbelievers' friends, unbelievers' relatives, unbelievers' people around, and you say, when are they going to believe? Please, don't keep that in your mind. You say, God, you only know when you're going to bring them to the Lord. You only know. Be positive. You only know. Don't just, oh, this guy is in this way, this other is in this way. No, don't do that. God is in business of saving people, and God only can save. So, God, only you know when my son is going to come to your presence. God, only you know when my husband is going to come to your presence. Only you know. Don't play God in your life. So the proper answer is God knows who's going to be saved, when it's going to be saved, and how it's going to be saved. Only God knows. Now, what can we do as a church so that people can be saved? Verse 4 has the answer. What can we do? Look at verse 4 right here. He said to me, prophesy. It doesn't say that word prophesy. It's a little different than the word prophet. The word prophesy doesn't say tell the unknown. It says preach to them. That's the word we translated today. Preach to them. There was a noise and a rattling. The bones came together, bone to bone. Prophesy. He said, look at here. Verse 4 is just clever. He said, prophesy to these and say, dry bones, hear my preaching. Hear the doctrines of this church. No, hear the word of the Lord. Lord, hear the word of the Lord. Prophesy to these people. This is the program of the church. It is not, people ask me, do you have young people program? Yes, I do. Do you have young people director? Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I have about 30 directors. Wow. How big is your church? 120 people. 30 directors? Every father is a young people director. Don't you think so? That's what the Bible said. Every father has the right to conduct their home in the fear of God. Every father. Man, don't sleep. Don't let your wife do the reading in your home. You do the reading in your home for your family. Every father. That's what we lost in America. Well, we bring the children to church and they have a children program. And when the pastor is preaching, they have a children program where they have fun. When they are 15, they don't want to come to the service. Listen carefully. Preach. Look at verse 4. Look at what he said. Prophesy to these bones and say, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And that's why people don't like that. I shared earlier with my Spanish class that as I passed the Bible through the Spanish people, this morning I was able to pass one Bible, and the man was so afraid, like the Bible is a cuckoo or something. Why? Because Satan knows that that Bible wakes you up. And I said, touch it, man. He touched it. I said, open. He opened. You have to have compassion for people. Different people, different actions. For the Spanish people, they don't know a word about the Word of God. You need to have a tremendous compassion. And you say, you see these big numbers here? The number 2, that's a chapter. See the little numbers here? That's a verse. So that you know what it is. Oh, how wonderful. Very soon, I said, let's practice. I give it a name. He look on it. 7-3. 7-3. He look. Let's practice again. And David, oh, I know it. Yeah, you can do it. Let's have compassion on people. Let's have compassion. Let's come down to their level like Jesus did to you and to me. He came down to my level, to a soccer field to get me. And so let's come down to that level and put it. See, brothers and sisters, it's the word of the Lord that we put together. I think by the mercy of God, we have put 1,500 Bibles in homes in this town, door by door. And I walk in a store and I still have Bibles from Bethel Baptist Church free of charge. You can pick one here in town. And I feel so good. I may be seen, but I told the lady, I'm the pastor of that church. You know, because it's just so good. You feel so good. You don't hear people. You hear about programs. You hear about this and about the other. And the only program God has, my brother, is preach the word. Preach the word. So here it is. Why? You know, if you're a child, you always should ask why. So when your daddy says something, you can say, why, daddy, can you explain to me? That's good. Okay, why? Romans chapter 10. Let's go over there, put one hand here, and go with me to Romans chapter 10. And let's look on it in verse 17 and see what God has said. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. It's very important that you and I rely upon this. Romans 10, 17. Here is what the Bible says. So faith comes from hearing the word of God. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. See, faith, we are born with a dead faith. We have no natural faith in God. Actually, we are born enemies of God. And then the Bible produces that faith. Sometimes immediately, sometimes take time, sometimes take 15, 20 years. But it's the Bible is the substance. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Here's how the faith comes into our life. And so God, going back to Ezekiel chapter 37, and in that verse 4, God said, the way out of the problem to get those dry bones up, the way out of the problem is to preach them the word of God. See, that was the way I was brought up. Grandma would read the Bible in the morning. The only reason I do not hate it is because we Latins, those who come from Italians and from Spaniards, they cook chocolate in the morning. I mean, the real raw chocolate from the tree there. And you smell it when there's cooking. You smell it. And 6, 7 years old, you care less about the Bible reading. You just say, so Grandma's going to finish, and I'm going to get the chocolate. No knowing that the chocolate of God's word was coming in. See? Then in the afternoon, twice a week, these Swedish missionaries will come, these French guys, will come in and say, oh, Doña Teresa, how are you? I hate these guys. Because the dining room table, who sits about 20 people, this is Spanish family, RB, we sit over there, and for 1 hour, these French will try to read in Spanish the Bible. And I look to my brother, and I kick my brother, I go, when this is going to be over? No knowing. God was putting in the word of God into my heart. My grandma never saw me saved, but the fruit of her work came into my heart at the age of 18. And the fruit of those missionaries who read the Bible came in my heart at the age of 18. See, brothers, it's like 1 Corinthians 15:57. Nothing is in vain. You read the scripture. That's the best thing you can do for your children. Don't buy children Bibles. No, read the Bible. I get Andrew here, and he can read King James Bible perfectly. Why? Because he's home to read the Bible. And that's the way it is. And so now I have to say the solution to the problem of America is that our president start reading the Bible. That our Congress start reading the Bible, not just through the motions. Not just through the motion. I was invited by the Board of Supervisors to pray. And they give me a list of things that I cannot do. In prayer, I said, I phoned them and I said, do you want me to pray or you want me to go through a form? Because if I go through a form, that doesn't do anything to you. But if I pray, I'm glad the supervisor said, leave the man alone. And so I wrote about 17 pages prayer, send it to them. So, you know, we don't have so much time. So I said, God, I said, no, I want to pray 3 minutes. Save this evil man. And gave them the joy of the Lord. So the city of San Jose and the county of Santa Clara will be standing on the truth. Oh, bless the secretary and bless these people and bless the other. And they don't invite me anymore. But I tell you. See, they want to play religion in America. At least in South America, they're evil. They say, no, we don't want God. But here, they want a God of their own. That's what happened in America. It's not Obama the problem. It's not the Republicans and the Democrats. The problem is we left God, my brother. And America is dry bones. And we need to go back to the East and preach the word to them. The way out of the problem, preach the word. Now, look at the work of God. Once you preach the word, you don't have to convince anybody. Look at verse 5 and verse 6. What happened? This is what the Lord God says to the bones. God is speaking to the bones. I will cause breath to enter you, so you will come alive. Maybe your version is a little different, but that's what it is. You will come alive. I will cause that. Verse 6, I will put muscles on your flesh, on you, and cover you with a skin. I will put muscles in those bones so that those bones can move, and I will cover with a skin that looks good then. This is what God is going to do. This is what He's going to do. It's just amazing. Then you will know that I am the Lord. You know, you keep preaching to somebody and talking to somebody and sharing the gospel with somebody. And sometimes we get these courages where nothing happened. Don't be a fool. Just keep on doing the work. Keep on doing the work. Because when God feels in that person, you see a different, you see the same individual, the same person, but you will see a different personality. Let me show it to you. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. You know this passage very well in Ephesians chapter 2. And you know verse 8. You have been saved by grace through faith, through believing. And verse 9 says, you don't save yourselves. It was the gift of God. Now why? Look at verse 10. God has made us what we are. In Christ Jesus, God made us to do good works, which God has planned or prepared in advance for us in our lives. In other words, God already had designed the work of God for us. It's all in the Bible. You do His will. That's the plan God has. God's not going to tell you be a medical doctor or be an engineer or be a garbage collector. That is not the design of God. The design of God is that you're going to be growing in the image of Christ Jesus. Kind, gentle, full of compassion, full of your vision is not this world, it's the world to come. And you're going to move on. It's just beautiful. So the work of God is I will put life. Our work is we share the word of God and share a life which has been shaped by the word of God. And so when people are affected, injected by the word of God, God produced the work and lead those people out. Amazing. 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 Now, look at the word of the preacher in verse 7. Ezekiel received the instruction. And look at verse 7. He said, so I prophesy as I was commanded. I like that. So I prophesy as I was commanded. He does not depend on a deacon board to tell him what to do. He depends on God. And I depend on God. Where is God? Right here in this book called the Bible. And so verse 7 says, so I prophesy as I was commanded. I did what God told me. That's the work of a preacher. See, I prophesy as I was commanded. Now, go to Isaiah with me to Isaiah chapter 28. And look at how a preacher should preach. Even that is in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 28. And look with me in verse 10. Isaiah chapter 28 in verse 10. A line here, I commanded, this a line here, and a line there, a rule here, and a rule here. Here a little, and here a little. In other words, little by little, you build up, like what we are doing this morning. Little by little, you teach them word by word, little by little. I'm always afraid of topical sermons because you can make anything you want to with topical sermons. But you cannot make things you want to when you go line upon line because it's written over there. And so that's the way a preacher should do it. She should just take a paragraph and go verse by verse by verse, line upon line, like we are doing this morning, because that's what God said. That is the word of the preacher. So I prophesy as I was commanded. And so I need to be obedient to the book. Even I am framed by the book. I got invited in my years, 36 years of pastor. So I was invited by a lot of churches in San Diego, big churches in New Jersey, because I was in radio and they listen. And some of the churches, they sent me an outline of what the church do not want to hear. It's no sad. And this is talking about 25, 30 years ago. Imagine today. Of course, I never went to those churches. See, don't talk about this. What do you want me to talk? Something they really like it. Well, remember Ezekiel? Turn or burn. Nobody like that. But that's what God said. If you are crossing a bridge and the bridge is broken in the middle, don't you want a guy with a flag, red flag, saying stop, before you go in? The work of a preacher, a word here and a word there. Now, look at the domino effect. You know, my wife asked me, well, you put that word domino effect, what does that mean? You know, you saw it in television, the domino effect. You have all the dominoes standing, you push one, and all zzzz go and fall. You saw it, eh? All right, good. I have one who saw it. All right, here's what it is, the domino effect. Once you preach the word, and when the word is in the hearts of people, and when God starts working, look at what happened. Let's go back to Ezekiel in chapter 37. And in verse 7, we start in verse 7, and we talk there in verse 7 and verse 8. So I prophesy as I was commanded. While I prophesy, while I was doing the job of God, there was a noise and a rattling. Always it is. You have to come at 7 o'clock or 6:30 in McDonald's. I said, this is it. And now some people, the Jehovah's Witness used to come, and they touch me. The Spanish guys, they touch me and say, Jehovah's Witness over there. I stand up and they run. You know, this is my hour. There is a sign over there put by the manager. 2 hours with Pastor Otero. He says, good. All right, here it is. There was a noise and a rattling. The bones came together. Bone to bone, one by one. Brother, never going to be a massive salvation. It's going to be one by one. Look. I look. And I saw muscles come on the bones, and flesh grew, and his skin covered the bones. But there was no breath in them. And so the domino effect is that people listen to the word of God, and they come to think somewhere, somehow, oh yeah, this is right. Let me read it. And very soon their brain starts reading and understanding, oh yeah, that, oh, Babylon, yes, that was a city over there. The first thing that happened is they dwell on the historical, and they check you out, the book of history, that's true. And then in the technical, and always I use Isaiah when people said, well, the Bible is not scientific. I said, well, Columbus came in the year 1492 to discover situation that the world was round, but Isaiah said, God sits on the rounds of the world. And nobody read it before. Oh wow. See, they're still dead. It's not that they agree with the Bible, but they're shaken. With doctors, I remember with Dr. McCormick, out of surgery, we talked to a doctor. He said, well, what the Bible has to say was that life is in the blood. Three times the Bible said. Well, yeah, that's right. Hey, before you know it, it's in the Bible. A child knew it before you knew it, doctor. You spent 14 years studying life is in the blood, and I can read the Bible. I know it without paying a penny. You know what I mean? People come, like Isaiah chapter, Ezekiel 37:8 says clearly, but there was no breath in them. In other words, people kind of agree, yeah, that is good, that's a good book, and so on. They are no believers yet. Oh, this is wonderful people, the Christians and so on. It looks like God is putting them together. But there is no spirit. See, for a baby to be born, need the spirit of life. Genesis, just in Genesis 2:7. God breathed and is still breathing. Each baby is conceived. Medicine cannot produce babies. A baby was conceived in the tube. Ah, stupid. Don't say that. I'm sorry that I say stupid, but it irritates me. Irritates me. You know, and so the domino effect is just amazing. You share the word of God with people, you put things together, and people looks like they are believers. No, yet, because there is no breath on it. All right. When the revival will come? Well, verse 9 and verse 10. Look at them, verse 9. Then he said to me, prophesy to the wind. We need a picture of the Spirit. Prophesy. Human being, and say to the wind, this is what the Lord God says. Wind, come from the four winds, and breath on these people who were killed, so that they can come back to life. So I prophesy as the Lord commanded me, again, second time, and the breath came into them, verse 10, and they came to life, and it stood on their feet. A very large army. What are we supposed to do? We pray. We pray. Lord, we have so-and-so who is unsaved, who is seeking the scripture. May the Spirit of the living God save him as you please. We pray with reverence for our people who are unsaved. See, they may read in the Bible, they may agree with us, but they need to come to the knowledge and is God penetrating their life. So that's what we have prayer meeting here. That's why we meet here on Wednesday. We don't play as another meeting of the church. No, we have a prayer list, and then we have so-and-so is unbeliever, so-and-so is unbeliever, and we pray for them. And we pray for them that the Spirit of God will come into their heart, that the Spirit of God will wake them up, because it's God who gives you life and life eternal. It's God who wakes your heart. It's God who teaches you the scripture. It's God who gives you the desire to give to the church, to follow the church and to do things. And it's God. We pray with intensity. It's 10 o'clock in the night when we leave this place on Wednesday. Because we are certain. We believe that. And I saw it. So what's the lesson today? Verse 11, we are spiritually dead. Then he said to me, human, these bones are like all the people of Israel. These dry bones are like all the people of America. They are dead. I read the papers. I watch the news. And people want to get out of the problem of America. They think the problem is economical. They don't realize the problem is spiritual. Our senators, we look for a man to guide us. And they vote for Obama thinking, he's going to give you everything. Now Obama charged everything and people don't like him. I laugh so hard. He has a good rhetoric. You don't know if he's left or right. Then when he took power, he tried to do what is best. So he has to charge. I listened to the Mexicans talking to me and said, do you know what happened? We thought we were going to get free medicine. And Obama said, illegals will not have medicine. Oh, I see, I said. What's the problem then? Well, he lied to us. No, I never heard Obama saying he's going to give. So, well, we understood in that way. See, one thing is what the person said. Another thing is what you understand and so on. And I say, you know, who give free medicine is God. And they looked at you and like this. I said, and if you die, so what? What? Yeah, you are 82. If you die, it's okay. I said, where you go after death is the problem. And they looked at you like you're cruel. How long you want to live? I said, I'm 73. I still running, swimming, doing all kind of things. There will be a day I cannot do it. But I'm ready for the next one. And see, this is the problem. Verse 11. These bonds are like the people of Israel. The problem of America is no economical, is no military problem, is that we have an unbelieving country. But we are potentially alive. Look at verse 12. So prophesy and say to them, this is what the Lord God says. So prophesy to the Americans, say this, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves. Dead Americans, God is going to open you. Then I will bring you into the land of Israel. My people, you will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and cause you to come up from them. Amazing. Look at verse 14. And I will put what? My spirit inside you. That's what we need. We don't need to be Baptists or Catholics or Presbyterians or Methodists. We need the Spirit of the Lord to charge, to really this. In John 16, the disciples were very afraid. Jesus is going to leave, and the disciples were afraid. And Jesus started in verse 7, he's talking to them not to be afraid. And then he said, in the whole paragraph, he said, now the Holy Spirit will come and convict you of sin. And then verse 9 said, on sin because you believe not on him. That's the sin of America. It's not that you are Presbyterian or that you are Lutheran or you are whatever you are. No, it is because you don't believe in God. So the Holy Spirit had to touch you and said, Jesus Christ is the Holy Messiah of Israel. He is the promise of God to Israel. He is the revelation of God. He's the one who paid for my sins and he died for me so that I will not be judged and sent to hell. That's simple like that. You explain to people, you say, oh, we don't understand it. I know why, because they are dead. Anybody can understand calculus, you know? Algebra? A plus B, parentheses equal. A squared plus 2B plus B squared. You know, it's simple like that. You get an equation. Integral of, you know, you keep on going. They're all in my, flowing in my head. See? This is easy, but you know, these things are more simple. Believe that the Lord Jesus Christ paid for your sins. People are still wondering why. Because you are dead like a piece of bone that we talk about. But when God comes into your life, the whole things change. There is a wonderful future when the Spirit of God comes into your life. And so let me close with some counsel for you. Number one, if you have no Bible, pick up a Bible in the pew and take it home. If you are listening to me and you have no Bible, you want to have a Bible like we do, just write to us, send an email to secretary at bbcmh.org, and we send you free of charge a Bible. When you get saved, we get back the offering. But you know, we want you to have a Bible, because the Bible is life. And we want you to read it. People said to me, where do I start reading the Bible? Well, when you buy a book, where do you start? You start in the middle? No, you start in the beginning, all right? Unless you're a little cuckoo, you start in the middle. But it starts in Genesis. People say, oh, Genesis is difficult. Well, how could it be difficult? Barashah berit berahim ala ishahan. Very simple. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's so simple. You can learn in 4 or 5 languages. All right? It's so simple. And you want to learn language? Buy 3 Bibles in different languages and read it in different languages and you learn. Challenge yourself. Read the scripture, number one. Second, talk to a preacher or to a friend who loves to teach you the scripture. Not the doctrines of their church and not what they do for this and the other. No, don't go to churches who have a show. Go to churches who really put the word on the table. At the beginning, it's going to be hard. You have to be in our Spanish class. Now we fly, but at the beginning, I had to wait until somebody find 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But I will not proceed teaching until everybody see it in their own hand. And when they see it, now it is. I don't know who did it for me, but I saw in my room a lot of Bibles in Spanish. Thank you. I don't know who brought it. I want to thank you for that. I saw a lot of Bibles and a lot of tracts. Somebody in my room, over there in the Spanish room, a lot of Bibles and tracts we start using this morning. Thank you very much for that. That is absolutely marvelous. You know, I want to thank you because you got the idea. It is the Bible. Now, don't get discouraged. Your children are dry bones. Your friends may be dry bones, but if you share the word, the Spirit of God can work. Don't put time into the work of God. Just share the word. Be kind and gentle and compassionate. Then people say, you know, my son is in this way, my daughter is in that way. So what? Where are you before Christ Savior? Don't be so proud to say, oh, I'm okay. No, no. I was running. I tell you this confession and so nobody will know. All right, here it is. You on radio, forget about it. But I was running. And two beautiful gentlemen beside me, good-looking guys. They look at, you have good legs. So, oh, boy. I look on and say, oh, yeah, my mother made it. So I keep on going, you know. And I don't know what is in their mind, you know. But I say, oh, I'm glad you talked to me. Take the cars. I'm the pastor of the Tel Baptist Church. I'm pastor of the Baptist Church. They quiet down. but you know, you never know who is beside you. Don't discard it. Take the opportunity to share, here is the love of God. Here is the truth of God. And, you know, if it's of God, they will keep on talking. If it's not of God, they will think about it. And I walked the other day in the gym, and they said, oh, Pastor, how are you? I said, well, who knows what they tell the other guys over there. But I go with a team of 45s. You know, I run fast. So I go with a team of 45 years old. I run with them. You never know who's beside you. Be extremely kind, extremely kind. I tell you, the thing's happening. Last week, I had to go 3 times to the court. The judge called me and said, Dr. Otero, please come here. I don't understand these people. I went over there. What a joy to sit down. And then he'd sit down in his chamber. And Your Honor, the Bible said these people are in this way. Wow, I said, thank you very much. Now I got it. You never know how God's going to use you. You never know. But be strong. Share the word of God. Share the word of God. And the Spirit of God. A spirit of compassion and love and tenderness. And God is going to work. But if you are not a believer yet, the Bible said you are a dry bone. And you need to read the book. And you need to listen to the small voice of God into your heart until you get converted. There is no half and half in heaven. There is no purgatory that you can push somebody by prayer on the top. No, no, no. Is really listen or burn. In other words, God give you the choice. You have to believe or you're going to burn. And so he told Ezekiel, in spite of the desolation of Israel, in spite of the crisis of Israel, preach. Because I have a great army. And on those words I rely. God has a great number of people that need to be saved through the preaching of God's word. May God be honored in this pulpit. Thank you, Father, for the great lesson that you gave us today. We have no other choice than to preach your word. We have no other choice than to be children of God who love you. Children of God who yield our life to the Spirit of God. And Lord, help us to have compassion and gentleness and care for those who believe not, that in due time they may come into the fold of God. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, crucify him, he is to blame. He could have called a thousand angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called a thousand angels, but he died destroy the world.